From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm a little teapot, short and stout, Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We have a great show for you today. So excited that Senator John Tester of Montana will be joining us right here on stage. But the big news this week was the blizzard that hit New York. Well, it was only big news because New York is where the media is. If all the national network anchors lived here in Chicago, which they should, then the blizzard of New York would have been covered like this.
And that's tonight's news. Oh, I almost forgot. A bunch of whiny panty waists in New York got some snowflakes on their heads and lost their mind.
Whatever the weather is where you are, or however you feel about it, give us a call. The number, of course, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Sue Baum from Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Lawrenceville, Georgia? Now, where is that exactly?
It's a suburb of Atlanta.
You know, at this point, and I've been to Atlanta many times, and the way it's growing, pretty soon everything will be a suburb of Atlanta.
This is true.
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty big.
And what do you do there?
I'm a retired library media specialist.
Library media
specialist. Oh, my goodness.
We have a convention tonight,
media specialist. Yeah. Yes.
What is the difference between library media specialist and a librarian?
Oh, they just updated the title about 30 years ago. I don't know why.
Well, welcome to the show, Sue. Let me introduce you to our panel for this week. First up, rejoining us, it's a writer for Late Night with Seth Meyers. It's Mr. Peter Grotz.
Hi, Sue.
Next, it's the woman behind the advice column, Ask Amy, Amy Dickinson.
Hey, Sue.
And finally, it's a humorist and author who is hosting the Moth main stage at the Music Hall in Portsmouth, New Hampshire on March 21st. That would be Tom Baudet.
Hello, Sue.
So, Sue, you'll start us off with Who's Bill This Time? Bill Curtis, standing right here, will recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, of course, identify or explain two of those. Do that, you'll win Carl Castle's voice in your voicemail. Are you ready to play?
I am.
All right, here is your first quote.
Barack and I have a bond. We laugh and joke and talk easily on the phone. The chemistry has brought Barack and me closer.
That quote came from either A, Michelle Obama, or B, Indian Prime Minister Modi.
Oh, my goodness. I guess I'll go with the Prime Minister.
Oh, you'd be right. It was a close one, but yes. It's fair to say that President Obama has never enjoyed himself more than he did hanging out this week with Indian Prime Minister Modi during his visit to India. They put on an awesome parade for President Obama. It was incredible. It was like what a circus parade would be like if you were on acid or if they all were. But everybody wanted, I mean, there were various state issues and there were issues of human rights and cooperation with Pakistan. Who cares? What everybody wanted to talk about on this state visit was a Prime Minister Modi's suit. Did you guys see this? This is absolutely true. His suit, very nice, was pinstriped, except they weren't pinstripes. They were, if you looked closely, and I did, his own name written over and over again in very tiny embroidery.
That is so awesome.
He did it so that he would not lose the suit at summer camp. Because, you know, they do the laundry together. You need to have your name on it.
That is...
It's amazing.
That's baller.
Yeah.
That's a phrase I use a lot.
The only other world leader to pull this off was Irish Prime Minister Tommy Hilfiger.
Obama has such a good time when he's not in America.
It really is true.
You notice?
I feel like when he's not president anymore, he's going to be like, you will never see me again. I am on a world tour.
And Modi is kind of the humble origins like Obama had, and they kind of played that up. And you can imagine.
They both arose from nothing.
You know, and these two guys watching that parade go by, they're leaning in and said, can you believe we're even here?
Amazing.
What are we doing here anyway?
Wait, they have a similar origin. So Modi was born in Kenya?
Exactly.
That's crazy. How did he become Prime Minister of India?
Sue, Here is your next quote.
With that kind of money, you could buy yourself a president. Oh, right. That's the point.
That was GOP strategist Mark McKinnon talking about who's plan to donate almost $1 billion in the 2016 election cycle.
The Koch brothers?
The Koch brothers. Who else? The Koch brothers, for those who don't know, were a great 60s singing duo who later went into being billionaires. And they have pledged to spend nearly $1 billion on the 2016 election. It's not clear if they're going to use that money to support a candidate of their choice or if they're just going to dress up the pile of cash in a suit and run it as a candidate. People will be like, I don't know. He's got private sector experience. Plus, for some reason, he reminds me a lot of the founding fathers.
I'd love to see the attack ads, though, on the pile of cash.
Really?
Pile of, did you know that when Pile of Cash was in Congress, he voted against giving himself to the middle class?
And traces of cocaine were found. Yeah.
That's found all over him. Yeah.
I always think the Koch brothers just sound like two jerks who went to Dartmouth. You know? Like, yeah, we're the Koch brothers. Hey. You need a little something?
Yeah. Hey. I thought these guys were genius businessmen, but they're spending almost $1 billion and they're getting a country that's almost 200 years old. I mean, for that much money, you can get a nice new country with that new country smell. I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah, like South Sudan. Isn't that like the newest country?
You
yeah.
can get, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you get South Sudan. Right.
I mean, crazy. What's crazy about this is how upfront they are. I mean, usually, you know, you think of like guys in back rooms slipping envelopes under the... No, these guys are like, we're spending $1 billion. We'd like to buy the election. Yeah. A bunch of the Republican candidates went out to their gathering in Palm Beach to basically audition for them. And it was like Shark Tank, except... They're running for president.
I wish it really was an audition and it'd be like, hello, I am Bobby Jindal and I will be reading from the Bible. Are we reading from 1 Corinthians? And we'll just...
For your last quote, Sue, I want you to listen to this line. It was repeated 29 times at a press conference this week.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
That was Seattle Seahawks football player Marshawn Lynch. And it's how he answered every single question at the Media Day event before what?
The Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl. Yay. Mr. Lynch loves playing football. He's very good at it, but he hates talking about playing football. The NFL has twice fined him $50,000 for not talking to the media. So he showed up and just told the media that he wouldn't talk to them. 29 times he did that. Journalists were incredibly upset since he refused to answer their questions. We will never know what he thought of his team's chances in the game or if he intended to give 100 or 110%. Scandal this year, as I'm sure you guys know, we've been covering it, of course, is Deflategate. The latest revelation out of Deflategate is that they now have video of a Patriots assistant bringing the balls in with him to a restroom for 90 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, after they had been tested by the referees.
That is sick.
Well, yeah.
What was he doing in there with his balls?
I know.
Did he adjust them in some way?
I think
How many balls?
12.
Well, he had 12 balls.
How many times can we say balls? Like, yeah. Do we just
in
get
90
to
seconds?
Say it?
All balls, balls,
this
balls.
Listen,
I live with an 8-year-old and 11-year-old.
You just say it all the time.
It's what we say.
And these aren't your kids, they're just roommates?
Yeah, no.
That's great. We just chew gum for dinner and watch
That's
TV
awesome.
All day. And
Bill, how did Sue do in our quiz?
Perfect field goal. 3-0, Sue. You did well.
Yay!
Thank you for playing, Sue. Right now, panel time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Amy, if you happen to be in Cardiff, Wales, and you wanted to go to what TripAdvisor says is the finest restaurant in that charming city, where do you go?
Is this a question from the news this week?
It is.
I'm going to say either Burger King or McDonald's.
No, not true. Oh. Better taste than that. I'll give you a hint. To get into this now suddenly hot dining establishment, you can either make a reservation months in advance or you can commit a crime.
It's the prison?
It is, in fact, the prison.
Oh my God.
The restaurant at HMP Cardiff Prison beat out 1,000 other restaurants in the city to take TripAdvisor's top spot. It also got just one great Yelp review, but that was just a guy shouting Yelp when he got shanked at the pizza station.
How bad would you feel if you had the second best restaurant in Cardiff? You'd be like, come on, guys. You know, we rotate the specials. We have fresh fish on Tuesdays. What do we have to do to beat the prison?
Well, can you go to this?
You can, and it's very nice. Apparently, they do a great job. There are little quirks. It is a prison. You have to order through one of those phones through the glass partition. And when you leave, you have to check your doggy bags for escaping prisoners. People are lining up to get in. You're in line. It's like, well, what are you here for? Oh, I'm here for their amazing cheeseburger. Also manslaughter.
I'd like to order the saw-shaped cake for dessert.
And it's a very charming room, except for the bathrooms, which are just stainless steel toilets coming out of the walls.
No. All I can say is this. I had my hair cut one time at a vocational school.
A vocational school.
Yeah, a vocational school, like a haircutting school.
Barbers learning how to cut hair.
But they just couldn't handle it. It was like these girls kept retreating in tears. Like they just couldn't.
That's really on you, Amy.
You think it's on me? I don't know.
So these people.
Maybe it's your hair.
These people aren't in prison for bad cooking. They're just murderers. Perfectly good chefs who are sociopaths.
Yeah. When that guy stabbed that person to death, she actually chopped him really well.
Yeah, exactly.
Very nice dicing technique.
Good knife skills.
Good knife skills.
Wait, Don't Tell Me is supported by Citrix GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses in face-to-face online meetings. With GoToMeeting, you can meet and collaborate from any internet-connected computer or mobile device. It's all the productivity without having to smell that cologne that Ian sometimes wears when, you know, he gets in that mood. Share screens to collaborate in real time and turn on webcams to see each other in HD video conferencing. For a 30-day free trial, visit GoToMeeting.com today and click on the Try It Free button to get started.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and we are playing this week with Tom Beaudette, Peter Gross, and Amy Dickinson. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, it's Jake Daly Leonard in Philadelphia.
Hey, Jake Daly Leonard.
Hey there, Peter Sagal.
Yes. So you're the Leonard we get every day?
That joke was made in high school. But, you know, if your parents bestow you with a double S name, you just kind of got to roll with it.
Well, welcome to the show, Jake. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Jake's topic?
Do you have a minute to talk about the environment?
There's nothing really more counterproductive to environmentalism than people lecturing you about environmentalism. But this week, we read about someone attempting to cut through all that clutter and really get our attention about saving the planet, to really grab us by the collar. Our panelists are going to tell you about it, guess the true story, and you will win Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. You ready to do this?
Yeah.
Okay, let's first hear from Tom Beaudette.
Teaching young people to respect the environment can be accomplished the same way we teach children anything, with fear and intimidation. That's what the faculty at St. Francis of Ascutney High School in Portland, Oregon decided when they initiated their climate camp detention program. Based on the scared straight experiment of the 1970s, where juvenile offenders were subjected to threats and ridicule by hardcore prison inmates, climate camp is intended to frighten kids who commit crimes against the environment into changing their ways. At St. Francis, those crimes include taking more than one paper napkin in the cafeteria, not using both sides of a homework paper, or, God save the children, being caught putting recyclables in the trash. Offenders are sentenced to a week of after-school detention in which role-playing science geeks and faculty sit around a dry and overheated room assembling hemp book bags and acting out a scenario in a post-climate change world. When asked if the climate camp was having an effect on her, junior Evie Lovett, a repeat climate violator, said, "Yes, if the environmental apocalypse is going to be this lame and stupid, I'll do whatever it takes to avoid it. But I'm still flushing my pee."
A scared straight for the environment program in Portland. Your next story of someone with a creative environmental message comes from Peter Gross.
Mayor Dimitri Russo of Castel Volturno, Italy, was having a hard time getting the word out to his constituents about recycling. So in order to promote the town's newest issue, he turned to the world's oldest profession, prostitution. Mayor Russo got two of his female advisors to dress as prostitutes in short skirts and low-cut blouses and stand by the side of a busy road in town. When drivers pulled over to, let's just say, chat with the women, the mayor leaped out from a hiding spot behind the women to lecture the would-be Johns about recycling. Yes, this was a deception, says Mayor Russo, but I know two things about the people of my town. They don't like recycling, and they love sex. Political analysts don't foresee the use of prostitutes to promote political issues catching on in America, however, since our politicians are much more accustomed to selling themselves for money.
All right. Using prostitutes or fake prostitutes to lure people into a honey trap for recycling. And your last story of someone ditching the petition and trying something new comes from Amy Dickinson.
Patty Cake Thibodeau is a New Orleans native who said she had grown more and more worried about the waste during the weeks of Mardi Gras parades when revelers on floats throw literally tons of plastic bead necklaces onto the crowd. The beads land in the trees, in the streets and gutters along the parade route throughout the city, and then they're swept away. After several years of unsuccessfully trying to get the city to ban bead throwing, she launched a campaign to replace the plastic beads with necklaces made with sustainable materials like seeds, grass, suet, and even rolled dung. Volunteers made thousands of eco necklaces and distributed a ton of the new eco beads to parade participants. The first day of Mardi Gras, the first parade of the festival, rolled down Bourbon Street. Thousands of drunken tourists lined the route. The sky suddenly got dark. At first, onlookers thought a storm was brewing, but were horrified to see a massive flock of grackles chasing the floats. Before they knew what was happening, thousands of birds descended onto the parade route, attacking the partiers and pecking at the beads, the floats, the breaths, and the people watching. People on the floats threw the beads faster and faster, dumping them directly onto people's heads trying to get rid of them. Thibodeau herself was injured and taken to the hospital when a group of spotted grosbeaks attacked her. It was like Hitchcock. City officials have advised people to stay indoors.
All right. Here's how you get people to pay attention to the environment. Was it from Tom Baudet, a scared straight program where they subject students to a horrible world in which it's hot and dry and they have to make hemp book bags? From Peter Gross, an Italian mayor who decided to promote his new recycling program by luring people to the side of the road with fake prostitutes? Or from Amy Dickinson, an attempt to make Mardi Gras grow green that ended with an attack of grackles? Which of these is the real story that we found in the news?
I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A? Jeez, I don't remember which A was. A, of course, was scared straight for the environment in Portland, Oregon. All right, that's your choice. Is Tom's story. Well, here is some news footage about this very program.
Buongiorno. Salve.
Good morning. Hi there. I'm the mayor of Castel Volturno. We're promoting a campaign to separate the recycling.
That was, in fact, the mayor of Castel Volturno himself, as translated, talking about his recycling plan with embarrassed Johns in his town in Italy.
Wow.
I know. Wow. He didn't believe it either, as is clearly the case, although Tom's idea sounds like a good one. It was not the true one, so you didn't win our game, but you did win a point for Tom. Thank you so much for playing.
Thanks, Greg. Right,
thank
bye-bye.
You. Take care.
And now the game where we take people who have risen high and we ask them to slum it for a little while. It's called Not My Job. Senator John Tester of Montana is both the only senator to have once been a school music teacher and, we're guessing here, the only one to regularly travel to Washington with a 40-pound suitcase filled with meat he butchered himself. Senator John Tester, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Great to be here. Thank you. Thank you.
So let's start right there. We understand that that's the case, that when you go to Washington from your home in Big Sandy, Montana, northern part of the state, you were carrying a valise filled with meat.
Yes, that's correct.
That is not a normal thing to do.
Well, I mean, it's normal if you used to butcher beef and you like good meat and you know where it came from, and we take it to D.C. with us, and then we know what we're eating.
Yeah. Do you not trust the cows you haven't met? Is that what's going on?
No, I trust those.
And when the lobbyists want to take you out to a steak dinner, as I'm sure they do all the time, do you all show up with a little bag and say, oh, I brought my own?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to confirm that something is true, that you are a senator of the United States, that you are one of 100 members of the greatest deliberative body in the world, but that when you came to Chicago, you got from O'Hare to here on the blue line. You took the CTA.
That is correct. Right.
Wasn't it a pain for your motorcycle escort to have to keep up with the train as you came? Oh, we got to pull over because this train just stopped. So you, just to get your background, as you say, you were, as your family had been for generations, a farmer in Montana.
Yes.
You raise, I now understand it's organic.
Yes, it
is. So what are you raising on this farm?
Well, last year we had several different kinds of grains. We had red lentils, we had peas, we had safflower, we had alfalfa hay.
I'm sorry, what was the last thing you just
alfalfa
said?
Alfalfa hay.
Oh, I thought you said alfalfa, which I thought was a way to prank me. See if he goes for the alfalfa thing. Going, oh, alfalfa, that's delicious, isn't it? Yeah, and you were out there raising crops and butchering animals.
Yeah, we are. In fact, my wife and I do it. And how I got turned on to this program, as a matter of fact, was riding the tractor. We don't get a really good NPR signal where I'm at, but on the tractor I get a decent one, and if I'm heading a certain direction, I can pick you up.
You know that? Really? So do you like doing the east-west rows?
Right. So that ended up being a very long row.
Yeah. But no, how do you go from there in Big Sandy, Montana, to the U.S. Senate?
Well, I served on a lot of the local boards in my local community, and then I ran for the state legislature in 98 and ran for the U.S. Senate in 2006. I mean, it was just kind of one thing after another. A series of really bad decisions.
Yeah, clearly. How often do you say to yourself, I should have stuck with the animals?
Regularly.
Yeah. What is the most surprising thing about the Senate, the thing that we would be surprised to know about the Senate?
Well, I don't know that you'd be surprised. It was a surprise to me how slow it operates. I mean, it really does operate slow. And, you know, it's a deliberative body, and that's code for being slow, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's very deliberative. I mean... You know, the highlight of my tenure in the United States Senate is probably this show.
Oh,
that's
no kidding. Terrible.
Come on.
That's awful. Aww.
Trying to play to the crowd, you know.
Really, so you're just imagining you there being like some, like the State of the Union or whatever important thing is happening in the Senate. You're there with your headphones going, no, they're doing the limericks. I love the limericks. Speaking of the State of the Union, one of the things we always talk about when we watch the State of the Union as TV on civilians is how much you guys have to stand up and sit down.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What do? You look around and say, who's standing? Do I have to stand?
Well,
if I'm sitting and the only one sitting, C-SPAN's going to get me. I'm going to be on the news shows tomorrow. What do you do?
That's pretty much it.
Really?
I mean, you know, you're sitting there and pretty soon the person on your right and left stand behind you standing. And you feel like you ought to stand or it's disrespectful, so you stand.
But it's like that. It's like that high school
music,
like Oklahoma, where you're like, okay, I'll stand.
It's the end of a mediocre play like 100 times.
And
then, of course, there's so many damn cameras, and they're constantly scanning you guys. And have you ever said to yourself, I so want to pick my nose? I would give anything, but I cannot pick my nose because I will be on season. I will be in the cover of Time picking my nose.
Well, you before it happens, you've got to be aware that the cameras are going to be on you, so you can't do anything odd.
Can't roll your eyes. Yeah. We have to ask you about one more thing before we move to the game, and that is you are known for your hair. Yeah. Could you describe your haircut?
Well, it's plum and square.
Plum and square.
It's like a well-plowed field. It's got that sharp right angle.
And it's a little different than yours, Peter.
It's a little different than in that it's there. We both have the advantage of it being uniform all the way around. How long have you had it? I call it a flat top.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. It's a flat top. I've had it since, probably 30 years.
And you're easy to find in the Senate floor, I would imagine. If I want Senator Tester, he's over there with a small jets landing on the top of his head. Well, Senator John Tester, we are so delighted to have you here with us. And we have, in fact, asked you here to play a game that this time we're calling...
John Tester, meet John Tester.
You're John Tester, of course. Have been all your life. But what do you know about John Testers? The people who test toilets.
Peter, the man is a United States Senator. Come on.
Look, he's not a congressman. He knew what he was getting into.
Oh, my God.
He listened to the show in the tractor. We're going to ask you three questions about the wonderful world of toilet testing. Answer two, and you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice in their voicemail. Bill, who is Senator Tester playing for?
Alyssa Diamond of Toronto.
All right. You ready to do this?
I'm ready.
Okay. First question. The big challenge in efficient toilet testing, as you can imagine, is finding a material to simulate the real thing for testing. After lots of trial and error, the best testers of toilets now use what? A, fermented bean curd, B, Tootsie Pops, or C, chalupas from Taco Bell?
Oh, my God.
I'm going to go with A.
That's right. It was A, fermented bean curd. It's a special recipe, so don't make it at home. All right. Here's your next question. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is very concerned, as they should be, with the quality of sanitation in the third world. One way they have found to test a lot of toilets in the field is what? A, a high-tech device called the Nasal Ranger. You can point it at a toilet from a distance. It'll tell you if it smells. B, the notorious perfectionist Bill Gates tests each one himself with what he calls the Windows Download Extreme. Or C, an unfortunate but necessary technique called the taste test.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, man. No, I got to go with A. I can't do C.
No, you can't do C. It's wise you didn't do C. It would have been unsanitary. It's the Nasal Ranger.
Yeah, good.
It's kind of if you'd imagine a telescope through your nose. You put it up your nose, at least according to the pictures, you pointed at something, you could smell it from a distance, and you can find out if the toilet's working or not. Very important work. We're not making fun
of
them at all.
Okay, Peter, the man has gotten two right.
I honestly can't wait for the third one.
No.
There's no mercy rule.
He's not going to stop combining the alfalfa and walk away when it's two-thirds done. It's not just toilets, of course. Also, urinals have to be tested. Which of these is a real technique for the testing of urinals? A, the, quote, world number one competition, in which scientists are able to observe men as they try for marks and speed, accuracy, and cleanliness. B, Urinal Man, an online simulator that tries to predict which urinal a man will use in various crowded men's room scenarios. Or C, the Urinal Art Show, which is both an art show and an experiment in which people are shown various sculptures, only some of which are urinals, trying to find what looks too weird.
B.
B, you're going to go for Urinal Man. You're right! This is true. Go to urinalman.com and you will see data about which urinal a man would normally use in order to be as far from another man as possible.
Do not go to urinalman.com. Seriously.
Bill, how did Senator Tester do on our show?
He did wonderfully on number one. Number two. But he did it on three, so he's the champ.
There you go.
I don't know what that says about me. But yeah.
So presumably by your own logic, this will be the highlight of your Senate career right here. Really, I mean, it's like, see, I just imagine you in your tractor listening to our show and going, what do I got to do to get on that show? The U.S. Senate? All right, it's probably worth it. John Tester is a farmer from Big Sandy, Montana. He is also a senator from that great state. Senator John Tester,
thank you so much.
What a pleasure to meet you. John Tester, ladies and gentlemen.
Farmer John.
Yeah. In just a minute, we've got an update from our Badonkadonk desk. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. Arizona State University, with more than 70 campus degrees to choose from, offered 100% online, with 6 start dates a year. Learn more at online.asu.edu. And Subaru, featuring the Subaru XV Crosstrek, with symmetrical all-wheel drive and 34 miles per gallon. Love, it's what makes a Subaru. Learn more at Subaru.com. From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Amy Dickinson, Tom Beaudet, and Peter Gross. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill gives the week's game ball to rhyming back Marshawn Limerick. Doesn't even make any sense. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Peter.
Yes.
There's a new miracle drug, ATX-101. It's currently under scientific review by U.S. and European drug administrations. And if it is approved, it will be the world's first approved cure for what?
May I have a hint?
You may. It's great if you get self-conscious during Skype conversations, you know, during video conversations.
It's great for that?
If yeah.
You
know how people, you know how a lot of people, when they're being photographed, kind of tuck their heads down a little bit to hide something? They'll no longer have to do this.
It cures baldness?
Not baldness. That's what. That's
too much hair.
That's when
oh,
you
nose
tuck
hair.
In. No, that's when you know.
No. Just following your movements. Up, down, no, left, no, in back, no, left ear, no, right ear.
No, I said you tick your head down.
You so tilt your head down, so you hide jowls.
Yes, which are also known as your double chin.
Double chin.
Double chin.
I heard a bell. Apparently, you got it right.
I did.
Wait a minute. There's a drug that's supposed to cure
well,
that?
Yeah, it's called exercise.
But isn't that...
No.
Right? Isn't that loose skin? What kind of
well,
drug
Well, no, I mean,
cures...
We're talking about the real, full-on double chin.
Like a goiter?
Not like a goiter.
Like a turkey neck?
Not like a like
well,
a double
how
chin.
How can you cure that with a drug?
Well, the idea is that this.
Let
is,
him explain
well,
it.
Why
I
would they,
know.
Of all the fat on an overweight person to target, why that?
Well,
it's I a, mean, how about the fat around their heart, lungs?
This is a great mystery, all right? But according to the articles about this, we found this drug, when injected directly into your double chin, it will melt the fat away in your chin, and your chin will. Will shrink.
Is this one of those drugs that was developed for one thing and ended up being good at something else?
Yeah, so I had a media trainer tell me once that Preparation H would take care of the bags under my eyes, yeah. And it does. Yeah. It gives you a really crappy outlook. I've been using that joke for 20 years, but never here.
Tom, Bob Dylan has done it all. Grammys, an Oscar, influenced a generation of songwriters. Well, he has a new achievement. He has finally made... The cover of what?
I would say Cosmopolitan.
No, although that would be sexy.
That would be.
50 things you can do to a strange withered troll in bed.
The last thing you want to hear after sleeping with Bob Dylan, I'm not really Bob Dylan. Yeah. I guess I need a hint.
Well, he was so much older then. He's even older than that now.
AARP?
Yes, he is in the cover of the AARP magazine. If you've seen the cover, I know you're thinking, aw, that's too bad. But no, Bob Dylan is still alive. It's amazing when you think how long Bob Dylan has been around. There are subscribers to AARP who are like, hey, Grandpa's favorite singer's on the cover.
But I think of him as being, like, kind of elusive or shy or something. Like, why is he doing that?
Well, he's also embracing his senior citizen status. He's updating his songs like Lay Lady Lay, Lay Across My Adjustable Hospital Bed.
He's written enough songs that we could do this for a very long time.
Knocking on heaven's door, he didn't have to change it all.
Tangled up in my seatbelt. Oh.
Is that something that happens to old people?
Yeah. You're like, I can't go. How does this work?
Oh, man.
Because you remember, his real name is Bob Zimmerman.
Yeah.
He's Jewish. He's an old Jewish man now. He's like,
come in, she said, I'll give you some nice gefilte fish.
I don't
not
know.
Not a song pun. No. It's just something you would get from coming in.
I know. Peter, every time a blizzard is forecast, people freak out. They raid grocery stores, stock up on bottled water, and last weekend in Manhattan, at least, in New York, some people even do what as they prepare for the blizzard? I'll give you a hint. Man seeking woman for long walks on the beach inside my tiny, cramped New York studio.
They wanted to make sure they had sexual relations?
Pretty much. They wanted blizzard buddies.
Oh, my God.
As soon as Winter Storm Juno was forecast, hundreds of men post personal ads. They promise things like hot chocolate, cuddling, lots of Netflix. But this is probably not a good idea for the women. Because the men you're going to find doing this are the human equivalent of that last sad loaf of bread.
On the shelf.
On the shelf.
that during the hoarding, nobody wanted to
exactly.
buy. It sounds like something that, like, if you were a young girl moving to the city, your mother would be like, now if somebody puts out an ad and they want a blizzard, buddy, don't go. That's not a real thing. You're gullible, Marsha. You're going to fall for this.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our March 12th show in New Orleans. Also, check out our sister podcast, How to Do Everything. This week, Mike and Ian torture beloved public radio personality Peter Sagal. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, my name is Joan, and I'm calling you from Richmond, Virginia.
How are things in Richmond?
Richmond is fine. We didn't get any big blizzard or anything, so we're all hanging in there.
Well, I'm sorry you didn't get a blizzard buddy then.
In Vermont, your blizzard buddy is the people who go in the ditch in front of your house. Can I use your phone?
Anyway, Joan, welcome to the show. Bill Curtis right here is going to perform for you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. Just fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of them and you'll be a winner. Ready to go?
I'm going to try.
Here's your first limerick.
If your kids have retained what you taught them, it's because mom grew quite big as she got them. Her genes have been kind, and they're not left behind, because their mom had a real ample
bottom?
Yes, bottom. According to a new study, moms with big butts tend to have smarter babies. The reasoning is that the fat in a woman's butt and thighs contain valuable organic biological components that are used to build a child's nervous system, which is surprising because who knew brains were made of Häagen-Dazs?
We have a generation of geniuses coming up in this
country. We do. The study came from the same researchers who discovered the correlation between men who like big butts and those who cannot lie.
I hope that women now will be like, I can't have that chocolate. It's going to go straight to my child's brain.
Yeah. Here is your next limerick.
Here's the gist of a new PR fable. Mickey D's is a lush, high-class label. They want to preserve us by upping their service. Now waiters bring food to our
table?
Yes.
Table it is.
McDonald's, the original and most widespread fast food restaurant, is adding table service, the perfect amenity for anybody who's ever been to a McDonald's and said, man, I wish I could spend more time here. We're putting in little screens like little tablets where you can place your order right at the table, and then somebody will bring it to you. So they're eliminating the counter, the cash registers. Pretty soon the play space ball pit will be BYO balls. I'm looking forward to the waiter coming to your table. Good evening. How are you? May I recommend getting out of here as soon as possible? Here is your last limerick.
In the world of the clever craft brewer, New gimmicks are fewer and fewer. Our water we'll gain from the sludge from your drain. We'll use water we get from the...
Oh, no, it's the sewer.
Oh, yes, it is. A few weeks ago, we reported on this new Icelandic craft beer made from whale testicles. And if when we mentioned that you lost your lunch, good news, your lunch is coming back to you. Portland Brewery is making beer from recycled sewage water. It's been retreated, made safe for human consumption. It means that you'll be drinking beer made from another person's former beer. By the way, it's not a special edition or anything. The reason it tastes like asparagus is because of poor quality control. Bill, how did Joan do?
Joan was just perfect.
Yay!
Wonderful.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Thanks, Joan. Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give me the scores?
Tom has 4. Peter and Amy have 2.
All right, we have flipped a coin. Amy has elected to go first. So, Amy, the clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. Both Chris Christie and Lindsey Graham took their first steps toward entering the blank this week.
Presidential election.
Yeah, for 2016. Officials for the World Health Organization announced that the blank outbreak in Africa was on the decline.
Ebola.
Right. Thousands of protesters gathered in Tahrir Square to mark the 4th anniversary of the uprising in blank.
Egypt.
Right. A full 10 months after it went missing, officials declared the disappearance of the blank to be an accident.
The Malaysian airline?
Malaysian airplane, yeah. Police in Texas arresting a drunk driver in the side of the road were briefly interrupted by blank.
Another pair of cops arresting them.
No, it was another drunk driver crashing into their squad car. On Monday, the Church of England consecrated its first ever blank bishop.
Female.
Right. IKEA announced it would begin selling vegan blank this spring.
Chairs.
No, meatballs. Most chairs are already vegan, except, of course, for the meat chairs that Senator Tester favors on his ranch. Two parents in France were disappointed when a court forbade them from naming their baby blank.
Meat chair.
No. They were not allowed to name their baby Nutella.
Good.
The judge told the parents that naming their child after the famous chocolate hazelnut spread was against the child's best interests and would lead to, quote, mockery and unpleasant remarks later on in life. The judge then suggested the parents consider a more manly, typical French name, like Michel. All right. How did Peter do in our quiz?
Peter got 6 right for 12 more points. He has the lead with 14.
All right, Amy, you are up next. Fill in the blank. Confirmation hearings for Loretta Lynch, Obama's blank nominee, began on Wednesday.
Attorney General.
Right. According to a new report from the Department of Labor, U.S. blank claims have dropped to a 15-year low.
Jobless.
Right. Due to the continuing conflict in Ukraine, the EU announced that it would be extending sanctions against blank.
Russia.
Right. Professional golfer Brooke Pancake confused fans when she signed an endorsement deal with blank.
Waffle House.
Exactly right. On Thursday, scientists in China...
What?
On Thursday, scientists just accepted a move on. On Thursday, scientists in China announced the discovery of a new 50-foot blank.
Meteor?
Dinosaur. Strong sales of the iPhone 6 pushed blank's profits to a new global record this week.
Apple?
Right. 911 dispatchers in the East Bay of Northern California have asked residents to please stop calling emergency services when blank.
East Bay, California? When seals... come up and ring their doorbell. That really happened.
God, I hope that's right.
No, they asked the community to stop calling 911 when Facebook goes down. Apparently it was an epidemic. They put out a statement. They say, we are here to handle matters of life and death, and while we understand it is very important to you, it is not a matter of life and death when Facebook goes down.
No.
I don't know what Jenny is listening to on Spotify.
Oh, my God.
All right. How did Amy do in her
Well,
quiz?
She did pretty good. 5 right, 10 more points, 12, but Peter Gross has the lead.
So how many, then, does Tom need to win the game?
5 to tie, 6 to win.
All right. Here we go, Tom. This is for the game. On Thursday, Raul Castro said that if the U.S. wanted to normalize relations with Cuba, it would first have to close blank.
Guantanamo.
Right. After being arrested last week on corruption charges, Sheldon Silver agreed to resign as the Speaker of Blank's State Assembly.
New York.
Right. Health officials announced that the Blank outbreak that started in Disneyland has now spread to 8 other states.
Measles.
Right. Comcast has apologized after sending customer Ricardo Brown a bill addressed to Blank.
Oh, it was really nasty. It was like fat idiot or you. It was an insult.
It was. And I'm going to give it to you because you probably were too shy to say it. It was A-hole Brown. During an interview with People magazine, Broadway legend Joel Grey blanked.
Came out as gay.
Yes. A Florida woman charged with grand theft auto said she knew the truck she was driving was stolen, but she didn't blank.
She didn't obviously care.
No. She said, I know it's stolen, but I don't think it was that stolen. When police in Florida found this woman driving this truck that was reported stolen, she told them she was just borrowing it from a friend. When they pressed her further, she said, yeah, she knew the truck was stolen, but she really didn't think it was that stolen. Eventually, the police agreed with her, and they reduced her sentence from grand theft auto to good theft auto. Bill, did Tom Baudet do well enough to win?
Well, he did very, very well, and it's something of an historic moment. He got 5 right, 10 more points, 14, and a tie with Peter. Co-champs.
There you are. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what will be the big surprise out of this year's Super Bowl. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Lumosity.com, brain training designed by neuroscientists that has been used by 60 million people worldwide with personalized training programs to challenge memory, attention, and problem solving. Learn more at Lumosity.com. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, working together to build a culture of health for all on the web at rwjf.org. Care.com, offering HomePay, a solution for nanny payroll tax and HR obligations, from automatic payments to preparing state and federal tax returns. Learn more at care.com/NPR. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, benevolent overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Jeanette Give Me a Head with Hair Wrist Cords. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to John Zajac and Les Dolarchek at Chase Bank and Alexandra Solomon at WBEZ. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Waltover and Miles Dernboss. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Her CFO is Andy N. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Special thanks this week to our friend Opus Moreski. Our senior producer is Ian Chillag. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Salty Kant Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the big surprise out of the Super Bowl? Tom Baudet.
In his post-game interview, Marshawn Lynch will not be able to shut up about meeting Katy Perry.
Amy Dickinson.
Well, during the halftime show, Katy Perry will establish once and for all that she is fully inflated at 12.1 pounds to the inch.
And Peter Gross.
In an ironic twist, with 10 seconds remaining while the Patriots are driving to win the game, the ball that Tom Brady is holding will spontaneously inflate and inflate and keep inflating until it whisks him up into the sky like a hot air balloon, and he and Gisele Bündchen will move to Mars and populate the planet with beautiful quarterback supermodel babies.
But you gotta admit, if any of those things happen, we're gonna ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you also to Bill Curtis. Thanks to Tom Baudet, Amy Dickinson, Peter Gross, to our special guest, Senator John Tester. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal, and we will see you next week. This is NPR.